Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Situations, over our families, over our friends. There's power in the name of Jesus. And though the world tells us something very different, we can't deny that there's power in the name of Jesus. So this morning we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Then we're going to speak Jesus. Then we're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to focus on Jesus solely this morning. Father, Lord, thank you so much for sending us your son, Jesus. And Lord, everything that that entails, everything that that accomplished and continues to accomplish, Lord, we thank you for that. Father, forgive us for ever taking the name of Jesus in a way that doesn't convey the power and the love and the authority that it encompasses. So Lord God, forgive us for that. Forgive us for misunderstanding your Bible and the theology that it contains, the absolute truth, trying to adapt that and work that away into our own agendas. Lord God, forgive us for those things. Help us to speak the name of Jesus more upon every situation, to not be arrogant or self-centered and say, I can do that on my own, but giving it to you and say, Jesus, I need you in the big things, but Jesus, I also need you in the little things. So Lord, right now I lift up all those that are battling illness today and in this season. Lord God, so many that are physically dealing with illnesses. Lord, there's some that emotionally or mentally they're dealing with some illnesses. And Lord God, I hate to say this, but there's so many in this world today. There's so many in our community. There's even people in this church that are dealing with a spiritual illness. But Lord God, you encompass all of those things. And you are the cure. You are the solution to each one of those illnesses. So Lord God, forgive us for seeking answers elsewhere. Help us to speak the name of Jesus upon every situation, to proclaim the name of Jesus in our triumphs and in our trials, and to extend the name of Jesus to everyone we meet, be it believers or atheists or those serving false religions. Anything in between, help us to extend the name of Jesus. So today, lifting up our voices and claiming the name of Jesus, we pray this in the name of our Savior, King Jesus. And everyone shouted, Amen. You guys can be seated. Man, there are a lot of sick people, aren't there? There just really is. And it's interesting because I have, on Facebook, I have pastor friends from all over, not just Montana and not just Kansas, different states, Missouri and Texas and Indiana and Illinois and all that. There's several churches around that they just went ahead and canceled in-person services this Sunday, and some did it last Sunday because there's so much stinking illness. And it's just getting old. And here's the thing. I'm sitting up on the front row. I'm listening to Dave and what he's saying and listening to hopefully the Holy Spirit, not just my thoughts and things like that. But it really dawned on me. I know you guys are going to be like, man, pastor's a little behind. Gosh, this stuff dawned on us so long ago. But this whole COVID thing has completely changed how we think about things and how we react to things. So some people right now just have a simple cold. But because we've been conditioned now into a whole different mindset, a simple cold now says, stay home, don't go anywhere. Partly because of how people are going to view you, right? And some people have the Omicron and all of those things, and some people that are kind of sick, there's some people that are really sick, but our whole mindset has changed, and it's been focused really upon this great fear that has been vomited out there by governments and things like that. We're trapped in this cycle of fear, whereas, you know, before everything, people would be in here and they'd have a simple cold. It wasn't that big a deal. Everything's changed. We're scared. We're scared of how people will look at us. We have shifted our gaze from Jesus and placed it upon this worldly fear. And people, we got to get out of that. I'm not saying if you're sick, just come and cough on everyone. I'm not saying that at all. I would never say that, but what we have to do is we got to evaluate our situation through the eyes of Jesus, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and not the media, and not what the world is trying to tell us. Guys, just like Dave was saying, we got to think for ourselves, right? We got to think for ourselves. We got to focus this through the Word of God. We've got to do that. Now I full well know everything I just said. People could come back and say that I'm preaching irresponsibility. Right, but I think the wisdom of God is what trumps everything. I'm saying each situation is completely different. We need to be lifting up the name of Jesus, filtering it through that, and really nothing else. Amen? Amen. Amen. We could be done today, and you guys would be like, man, we had some church today, right? We can leave here. And I'm a little behind on some things, but boy, when God kind of refocuses me on something like that, it's like, I need to listen. Stop. We got to stop living in fear and the regulations of the world. You know, all this stuff's based on worldly regulations and worldly wisdom. I want godly wisdom. I want godly regulations within my own life. Amen. Kids, if we have any kids in here today, kids, you guys can be dismissed. You guys can head on downstairs. There's some. Yes, we have some. We'll have a good time. I got a few announcements. We'll make them quick because I so want to jump into the message today. First off, we've got Bunko Night. Woo! Bridge Builders Bunko Night, January 29th at 6 p.m. Here. Craziness. I've never played Bunko, but I've heard it can get a little out of control. And what better place to get out of control than at a church function, right? January 26th, 6 p.m., prizes, tournaments, bring your favorite food, snacks to share, drinks, good churchly drinks, if you know what I mean. There's a sign up at the table in the back. Please sign up and come on. Is it violent? Can Bunko get a little crazy violent and stuff? Like throwing stuff? Yes, it can. Oh, gosh. Oh, I always... You want to switch it to... Let's do... Because of what? Okay. What kids' stuff? Oh, their stuff, the chosen. I thought you said the children. Speak up. The Bunko, we can do the office. The Bunko stuff at the office. Okay, Bunko stuff is at the office.
And the winner gets movie tickets.
The winner gets movie tickets. Yeah, because Celebrate Recovery has grown, man. It's awesome. I went to pick up, I'll share this real quick because it was so cool. When I went to pick up the challah bread for communion. We had communion last week, so I picked it up Friday, and I went to pick it up, and I went to pay with the church credit card, and the lady that was behind taking my stuff, she said, oh, Bridge Assembly, are you serious? You go to Bridge Assembly? I'm like, yeah. She's like, we meet there, Celebrate Recovery. We meet there every Saturday night. Thank you so much for opening your doors. It's so awesome. It's been so good. I said, you got to come Sunday mornings. She said, well, we're talking about that and stuff. So it's just cool stuff. So we're talking about Bunko, but now we're on Celebrate Recovery. It's all good because we do it all for God. So January 29th, we will be in the office.
All right.
And we'll do that. And if we overflow, we've got the garage too. So we've got all that. All right, next announcement. Bridge, I can't, this catchy title, right? Worst title I've ever come up with. Bridge's Baby Basket Bonanza. So I'm going to have Gail come up and talk about this a little bit, but another fun opportunity for us. You have to come up here. You're so tall. If you stay down. You're on. You're good, I think.
Good morning.
Yay.
Hi. So I've done a couple of projects like this, but so I'm on the board at Bridge. And as a board member, I have a portfolio to be responsible for. And so I'm on the outreach portfolio. So the first project I did like this was those backpacks for the kids. And so now I came up with another idea. I had it on my heart to do something for Valentine's Day to reflect God's love. And so I wanted to do something with baskets. That's all I knew. And so I told Pastor, I said, hey, I have an idea maybe for Valentine's Day for baskets, maybe for kids, babies, something. And he goes, yes, work with Options Clinic. And so voila, there we go. So I worked with Options. I gathered the baskets. I talked with the Options, and they gave me a list of things that would be very helpful for them. So I had put this list of things and some directives inside each basket, and you can take it, and it's due back to the church on February 14th for Valentine's Day. So we'll deliver it to them on Monday, Valentine's Day, and if you bring it back here by the 13th of February, it would be great.
Awesome. So how it works, you probably saw when you walked in, there's different baskets out there. So you just take a basket, and inside the basket is the list. It's got everything in there. So there are, well, we started with, I don't know, people have taken them already. I think there's 10 blue baskets, 10 pink baskets, and 10 white baskets. The white baskets are, don't make them gender specific. You got to get real careful when you talk about gender specific and stuff anymore. So the white basket is like, do pinks or not, yellows and greens and stuff. It could be either boy or girl, but the other ones are more focused. So it's really cool. And there's an example out there.
Yeah. The white baskets are for those families that don't get older baskets are for those families that don't yet know the gender of their babies. So that's why we do green or yellow or something like that. And I was going to say something else.
I don't remember either. Okay. Don't look at me.
Okay. All right. I think that's it.
Oh,
and on the list too, Options came up with a list of items that you can put in there.
Oh,
and
that's right.
They don't want you to necessarily feel obligated to put those items in there. You can put in there whatever would be helpful for a baby that you would think, your own personal items if you would like to do that. There is a list, though, of about 15 items, and they say please don't feel obligated to fill them with all the items. Just choose like 5 or 10 items. And the basket that I have out there, I think, has 8 or 9 items in it. Thank you.
Awesome. Oh, and then the last thing, like we did with the backpacks, put a card in there of encouragement and things like that. Just say, hey, we're praying for you guys, we're praying for your baby, all that. How fun is this? It's always fun to be able to do this kind of stuff. But grab a basket. We've got a little bit of time. They got to be back Sunday, February 13th, so we can get them down there. I love delivering this stuff, so that's always fun for me. Awesome. Like always, we have prayer on Mondays. We have it from 1 to 3. And we have it from 7 to 9 here in the sanctuary. Again, everyone is welcome. Don't think you have to stay for those 2 hours. If you can come in for 15 minutes, that's 15 minutes of prayer. God loves that. Sometimes 15 minutes is a bigger sacrifice than staying for 2 hours, right? We kind of know that. And sometimes God will do things, and that 15 minutes can be very effective. But if you can make it to one of those, that would be awesome. They're split up a little bit different. It's in the bulletin as well as the baby baskets as a reminder. And I think everything is taken care of. Bunko announcements are good. Giving, we always got to give you the option to give. I think the last couple of Sundays I've totally forgot to remind that we have different options for giving. Three ways to give. You can give online, which some people are saying, it works so good. And other people are saying, it doesn't work good. Reality is that's just, it's when you click on giving, it takes you from our website to their website. So we can't do a lot about that. There's something whacked out about that. But that doesn't mean you can't use the giving box in old-fashioned checks or cash. Or you can mail it to 725 Granite Avenue. Giving is an amazing learning experience, I think, for each one of us. And those of us that give understand that. You go through that process. I'm on all these different fly fishing things on Facebook, and people ask these questions about different types of casts or how to tie a fly. And I was thinking, gosh, these people, there's difference between this idea, this theory of something and the actual application, right? So these people are like, well, how do you do a double haul cast? And I've been thinking about it. It's like, you're thinking about it, but sometimes you just got to do it, right? You got to do it. You got to do it and experience it to understand if you can do it or not. That's a biblical principle, and it's big with giving. You can have the theory of what tithing and giving does. And I'm talking about giving in all sorts of manners, but especially with your finances. Oh, I understand this biblical principle that God wants us to give, and then that's part of obedience. I understand that. I'm good. But until you transfer that into actual application and you actually step out and do it, you don't totally understand if it'll work or not. And it doesn't pressure you. An idea is worth nothing. Application is what costs me. An idea can teach me something, but to truly learn something, I have to apply it. That's why we offer three ways to give and encourage you to do so. All right, did I forget anything? Somebody's got to say yes or no, or I'm just going to... No, I didn't forget anything. Thank you, guys. All right, today... I'm excited about the message today. It's a good one. We're on part 14 of this series, and today we finish chapter 3. How cool is that? It's gonna be great. But let me pray and we'll get started and hopefully be challenged. Because of circumstances, I had to write this week's message and next week's message, and I'm telling you, next week's message, the doozy. But today is really good as well. So pray with me. Father, thank you that we can once again dig into your scripture and Lord God, just dissect it and learn it and apply it and be challenged by it and even be convicted by it. So Lord, open our hearts. You got to open up our hearts, but don't open up our hearts and disconnect our brains. Lord God, do both so we can take it in, we can listen, we can hear, we can ponder it, we can allow it to affect our heart, we can put it into play within each one of our lives. Holy Spirit, allow me to speak only what you desire me to. Shut my mouth with anything else, and don't let anybody leave here today without being changed just a little bit, without having something to dig into more, without having a revelation, without something. Lord, we desire this. We so desire this. So, Lord, we yield to you. I yield to you up here 100%. We pray this in that mighty name of Jesus that we sang about. And everyone shouted, Amen. Well, we have come a long ways in this series. We've been breaking it down verse by verse. I didn't want to skip anything. You know, there's some parts of Scripture, it's like, do I really have to include that sentence? Or do I really have to include that verse? Sometimes because we don't think it has very much impact, and other times because maybe it invokes too much conviction. But what I wanted to do, and whenever I break down a series, we want to go verse by verse. But because we go verse by verse, it tends to lengthen things out, right? 1 John is you can read that in 20 minutes. If you're a slow reader, you can get through it in 20 minutes. But here we are, 14 different Sundays, and we're still in chapter 3. Now it can probably, and really it should feel like a journey that we're on, right? It's not a one Sunday thing, but we're on a journey. And as with any journey, if you guys have ever gone on like a long road trip or a long vacation that has multiple stops, you know that there's parts of that journey where you're going to enjoy that part more, right? Oh, I really like that part. That was amazing. But then there's other parts that can be a little more challenging, right? Oh, we got through that part, and now it was a little bit harder. I wish we could just camp out and then those fun parts, but sometimes we got to go through the challenging parts. And then there's also those parts of any journey where you're kind of like, boy, I'd just like to stay here. I would just like to camp out here. With Scripture, those are usually those parts where, man, Jesus loves you. Jesus does love you. But you got to understand, you can't just camp out and remain there because there's so much more to it, and there's so much more great nuggets in there. See, it's important when you're on a journey to always keep moving. Because if you're on a journey, if you don't keep moving, you're never going to get to where you want to get to. And that's important when it comes to Scripture. Because with Scripture, we always have to see the big picture. And that's what really brings the essential context that is vitally important to have a proper understanding of Scripture. You know, Dave, you were citing all those statistics from evangelicals, especially evangelical millennials. I don't want to pick out any age group and pick on, but my goodness, millennials are so easy to pick on. I'm not a millennial. I'm way too old for that. But a lot of times, those misconceptions about proper, solid biblical theology comes because there's not proper context, right? They were never taught proper context. They were never engaged with proper context. So to have this idea, hey, 1 John is a great book, let's just run through it, versus let's use it, let's take it like a journey, let's make stops, let's camp out, but let's not stay there, let's get to the end, but let's work through it and let's learn upon the way. That brings context, and that gives us a greater understanding of Scripture that is so important. We do all these things. Every Sunday we come in here and you can expect something new, right? But every Sunday you need to come in here also remembering where we have been throughout this process, because this is a letter. It is a book of the Bible that needs to go together. Now, like always, if you need a reminder or you're not quite sure, if you've missed anything, you can grab the weekly handouts. They will be available at the end of service. You can also catch a recap on Facebook or YouTube, like always. Now, today we will be looking at this idea and this reality of having fellowship with the Father. Boy, that narrows it down, right? Isn't that pretty much the whole Bible, is this idea of having relationships and fellowship with the Father. But with 1 John, it's important because 1 John, you can really take the entire letter of 1 John and boil it down into two categories. See, on one hand, John is dealing with the teachings and this misguided theology of those who have left these churches. He is using the teachings of Christ, the gospel, to dispute their misplaced beliefs that have been really perverted into their suiting their own agenda. And this is important simply because it's a biblical example that bad theology it's out there everywhere. Bad theology should always be addressed with solid teaching based in the Word. It should be addressed. Should we just turn a blind eye and say, oh, well, that's nice that you think that? No. We're supposed to help correct. We're supposed to win and pull that person, that brother or sister, back into good theology. And that's just incredibly important in our day and age with everything is available on the internet. Just ask Google. That's where we live. And I'm telling you, the stuff that we see, just because it's on social media or on a website, it doesn't make it true. Right? Right. Some people in here are going, wait, serious? Yeah, serious. Most of what's on the internet, man, I don't know what percent, but there's a lot of bad information, disinformation. And when you get into the Bible, Christianity and stuff, man, it's all over the place. Don't look at that stuff. Ground yourself in the Bible. Now, if John only addressed these issues with these people leaving with their bad theology and then still trying to affect the church, if John only addressed that, 1 John would still be an incredible book for us. But he doesn't. Because on the other hand, John is teaching and he's encouraging the faithful who have remained in these churches. He is not only pointing out the error of those who have left, but really even more so, he is grounding the believers in a solid, life-changing, relationship-building teaching that will effectively build stronger churches. It will be, stronger churches are built by stronger members, right? So the more each one of you listens and says, man, I'm going to read the Bible on my own, I'm going to pray on my own, I'm going to develop my relationship with God on my own, as a result, the church gets stronger. And that's what John is encouraging here. So we know where we've been. So let's pick it up from last week. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to 1 John. We're going to start out in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, and it says this: by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. Pretty big statement right there. See, once again, John is addressing this question that I think every believer has from time to time. It's the question of how can I be confident and unashamed before Christ in my relationship with Him? If you have ever struggled with this question, don't worry. It's a normal thing. It's something that we all can fall into. It's something that we all walk through from time to time. How can I be confident? And how can I be unashamed before Christ? Is my relationship right? Am I doing what I need to be doing? Am I close enough to Jesus? I would go so far to say that it's even healthy to ask yourself this question from time to time. Now, we don't get obsessed here. We don't do it every single day, because that tips the scale into this unhealthy side of things of oh man, I'm just worthless, I can never be good enough. And no, we don't do that, but we can ask these questions and say, okay, I got to do this self-check. And from time to time, that self-check is a wonderfully good thing. Now, if you never go here and this kind of question has never arisen in your heart or in your brain, I would encourage you to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit here and just say, hey, Holy Spirit, why have I never asked that question? Lead me and guide me within that. But what I can say with all confidence is this: God loves us so much that He never wants us to stay in one place too long. That's not always easy. It's not always fun. So often we get into a place where we're comfortable. Comfort. Oh, I'm just happy here. Nothing's really required of me. I know how everything works. I'm just good. And God doesn't want us to stay there. God never wants us to just be good. See, He will continually move us into places and situations that will draw us closer to Christ. And in so doing, make us just a little bit more like Jesus. Now, as we have been talking about last week and the week before, we talked about this agape love of God and how when we have that in our heart, our actions will flow from that, right? It's within our heart. Our actions flow from what's in our heart unless we're being pressured by an outside source to just go through those actions, which we talked about builds conflict. And John has established a practical way to evaluate where we are as judged by our own actions. And that's so valuable, isn't it? Isn't it? Because I can sit there and go, okay, I have all these questions. How am I with God? Where's my heart at? I can start looking at my own actions. And that can help evaluate where I am with God and where my heart is, and I think that's so valuable. But, and this is a huge but here, There is way more to our faith than simply judging ourselves and others by actions. See, if we get too consumed with only our actions, where might that leave our relationships? Namely, our relationship with God. See, we can fall into works really easy there, right? Oh, everything's based on my action. I better do this to please God. No, you've just hijacked that whole thing. Your actions are flowing from your heart, but we can't just base everything on our actions because there's this whole other wonderful side, and that's called our relationship. See, it says that by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. I, for one, I want to know where I am in terms of the truth, because that's a great place of confident affirmation. But you know what else I need in my own life? I need to have my heart reassured before Christ. How many of you guys need your heart reassured before Christ? Once a year, right? Maybe at Easter. That's a good time. No. Once a month. No. How about every Sunday? We can walk, we can go to church and have our heart reassured before Christ on Sunday. Is that enough? It's not enough, is it? We need our heart reassured by Christ continually, like all the time, because that's this place of loving security. So when we take verse 19 and now we add verse 20, things get pretty dynamic here. Look at 19 and 20. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Wow. What a powerful passage that is now. I think we could summarize this maybe like this. If we know that we belong to the truth, then when our heart tries to condemn us, we can have confidence in the one that is greater than our heart. That's really the gist of what's going on here. See, now this point is where everything comes into this beautiful harmony. First, we can know we belong to the truth because we love in our actions and our deeds purely from our heart condition. And second, we can know we belong to the truth because God Himself assures us that we belong to the truth. God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Now, for whatever reason, John writes this, but John does not go into why our hearts would condemn us, right? He kind of leaves that kind of hanging out there in the wind. But I think we all know the reality of what he is saying here. Those John has addressed in this letter directly, as well as, well, each one of us knows how easily our confidence or our conscience can creep in and distract us from God's truth. Happens all the time, doesn't it? See, the voices in our head can play havoc on our spiritual health. And that is something each one of us must be aware of and face, probably on a daily basis. I wonder how many people woke up this morning and something within their head said, no, don't go to church. You don't need to go to church. Wouldn't it be better to sleep in? You're sick, after all. Society says this. I mean, really, who's doing this? And will there be jam? And all these different things, they enter into our heads. And that's on a Sunday morning. It's on a daily basis, though. Should I do this? Should I not do that? There's all these influences that are right there. It comes in there. Our heart or our brain is always messing with us. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:5-6. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. See, the wording here paints this picture of this violent scenario, doesn't it? And sometimes, too often, if we ever even think of spiritual warfare, We think spiritual warfare is going out and fighting this demon or casting out this demon. And it's this big, bold, faith-filled process. And that's part of spiritual warfare, absolutely. But did you know spiritual warfare can exist within us? The war between our spirit and our heart of for God is under attack by the worldly thoughts that continually creep into our minds every day, sometimes every hour, sometimes every minute. Those worldly thoughts are creeping in, and they're at war with our spirit and what we know to be true about God. See, the biggest war is usually inside me, and it's a war that can only be fought by surrender. See, it says we must take captive. Got to take captive those thoughts, and we need to surrender those thoughts to God, the only one who knows our heart. See, if we don't do that, we'll get all confused. To be effective at this, it's important to know our enemy. See, our enemy here consists of things like doubt. Anybody struggle with doubt? Should I or should I not? Did I do the right thing? Did I not do the right thing? Am I a good person? Am I not a good person? Am I even a Christian? Am I not a Christian? There's all this doubt in there. And doubt. How about guilt? Anybody struggle with guilt? Oh my gosh, I should have done that. I'm so horrible for not doing that. Or maybe it's something you did years past and that guilt is still affecting you. How about fear? We talked about fear already today, right? How many of us are allowing too much fear in our lives, and it's influencing us way too much? How about failures? Anybody ever fail in life? Anybody ever fail today? Right? We fail all the time, and failure is a great tool to learn from and to springboard off of, but sometimes we allow those failures to affect us way too much. Here's a big one, unforgiveness. We can go through life holding on to that unforgiveness. Well, why? Why is this happening? Taking that victim mentality, putting a load upon somebody else that they were never meant to carry, but that unforgiveness is really only hurting us. Anger. Anger is one of those things. Boy, that'll distract us, won't it? Man, I'm just so mad. What are you mad about? Well, so-and-so did this 8 years ago, and I'll never forgive them because of their failures, because I'm afraid of what might happen, right? How about insecurities? Gosh, am I good enough? Am I good enough? Am I tall enough? Is my hair nice enough? Do I drive the right car? Do the people at work really like me, or are they just tolerating me? I'm so insecure about everything. And then there's also regrets. Everybody has past regrets, right? See, those thoughts are never far from us. They just aren't. Sometimes these negative thoughts are from our own actions, or sometimes they're from our own inactions. And sometimes they are from our ultimate enemy, the accuser, Satan himself, who preys upon our weakness, preys upon our insecurities. He preys upon our shortcomings. He amplifies all those things, doesn't he? And he does this in order to evaluate them so we start to question things that we absolutely know. We question things like, well, gosh, can I ever really be forgiven by God? Maybe I'm just that much worse than ever. Well, God can forgive everybody but me. We question how a holy God could have anything to do with us. Look at me. Look at those things I've done. How could God care about me? How could God actually love me? God really knew what went on up here. Well, God really knows what goes on up there. It's those thoughts that distract us from God. See, it's a constant battle within us that can absolutely be influenced by the enemy. He can fan those flames. He can intensify that. He can be that catalyst that makes that so much stronger in our lives. So then what can we do? We can simply remember that God understands everything. His word and his truth is greater than our feelings. It's greater than our emotions. It's greater than our self-conscious insecurity. Some people in here need to hear that. God is greater than all of those things. God is greater than anything going on in this world today. God is greater. We rest in his love for us. We live in his love and by his love for us. What love? What kind of love is that? That's agape love. That's the agape love that was established by the sacrificial death of Christ upon the cross. You guys have ever wondered why you need to be born again and have a relationship with Jesus? If you've ever wondered that, because there's Christians out there that'll say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm not born again. You got to get this mindset of you got to be born again. If you've ever wondered why, of course it's for salvation through the restored relationship with the Father, right? That's why you got to be born again. And it's so we can rely upon him in his ultimate authority and love and quiet those self-condemning voices that are in our head. We're going to never do it on our own. There's not a self-help book out there. There's not a TED Talk or a podcast that you can go to that is going to help you quiet the voices of this world, those insecure, hopeless, messed up voices in this world. Nothing on your own is going to help that. But the agape love of the Father will quiet them. Being born again says, I am devoting myself. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That was me then, but this is me now. I am no longer that person, but I'm born into his family. It is that that changes us. I look around. I listen. I watch the news. I read things. Of course, this world is bound by a hopeless attitude. Of course it is. Look at what they're listening to. Seriously. Guys, we got to listen to something that is so greater. As a child of God, my hope comes from someone who is so much greater. Someone who truly knows me and genuinely loves me. Now look at verses 21 through 23. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us to do. He commanded us. He didn't ask. He didn't imply. He didn't say, catch my drift. No, he commanded us to do these things. See, as followers of Christ, we are called to fellowship with him. It's not an option. We are called into fellowship with him. And that is something that is not hard to do, is it? It's something that we should want to do. We should want to have fellowship with the one who has set us free from death and sin. But if we are self-condemning, if we are guilt-ridden, if we are burdened down, and if we are in bondage to our own thoughts, rather than seeking fellowship, that's going to cause us to flee the very presence of God and where we actually need to be. You guys ever screw up? Don't, please don't raise your hands on this one. Because we all have. But I don't need anybody raising their hand and shouting out examples. Come see me in my office. We'll talk about it. But we all screw up, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. We miss the mark, right? It's not a willful, habitual sin. But boy, that opportunity was there. And either anger came out or fear or lust or addiction or something. And you fall, right? You fall in that moment. And you what do you feel? You feel guilt. Right? You feel remorse. You feel anger.
Sometimes you feel fear. And when we allow all those thoughts to come in, instead of running to Jesus, the very place we need to be, we're scared. And we flee and we revert back to the little kid who just burnt the hillside down. And it's like, man, I got to go hide. Just a random example. Because you don't want to fess up and you don't want to go to the place that can actually bring that ultimate healing because you're fearful. See, our mindset gets in there and it diverts us. And then our heart does condemn us. But this is saying, man, if your heart does not condemn you, you can have confidence before God. That's a process that we get to. All of us are going to mess up. All of us are going to fall short. But if your heart doesn't condemn you, even though you have not justifying your behavior, you run to God and you repent of that behavior because that is where the healing comes. Now, is it always easy to be in fellowship with God? Is that an easy thing? No, it's not. It's not an easy thing. And you know why it's not an easy thing? That's simple, because we make it hard. We make it hard. I know what I need to do, but I don't do it. Didn't Paul say that? Oh, curse me, I'm a wretched man. I know what I shouldn't do, but I do it anyway, and I know what I should do, and I don't do it. It's this vicious cycle because we make it hard. We make it hard because there's this continual war against the voices in our head and what's in our heart. The voices in our head never wants to submit to what's in our heart. The voices in our head said, man, sin is good. Rebellion is good. You're the master of your own universe. And it wants that. We have to fight that. And we have to put into order what's in order. What's in order? Well, God's above everything, right? Is it? Is He? Is He in your brain? Is God above everything in your brain? We must be diligent in our relationship with God. We must be diligent in our prayers and our prayer life. We need to make that just on top of everything. Prioritize that thing. Seeking only what He can provide. See, we're seeking. It's got this mindset. We can seek all these other things because the world can provide those things, right? Everything from medicine. There's a medicine for that. It'll take care of that. There's a pill for that. If you just had more money, if you had a different job, right? We seek those things, but those things always fall short. We must be diligent to seek the things that only He can provide through Him. And it is when we have this confidence in Him, which transfers to our own heart, right? When we have that confidence transfers to our own heart, that we can stand confidently before Him. Who wants to stand confidently before God? I know I do. So develop a fellowship with Him that you can gain that confidence before God because your heart does not condemn you because your spirit that is influenced by the Holy Spirit has taken captive those thoughts that come in. He has made those thoughts become subservient to God and God's Word. Oh, is that thought I'm having, is that from God or is it not? Ask Him! Measure it against God's Word. Well, I'm really feeling like God says I'm supposed to leave my spouse. Really? Let's look what the Word says about that. Well, I'm really feeling that God is saying this, or I have this idea, maybe I should... Well, let's take those captive and make them subservient. Because if they're not of God, they're going to bring that fear and that bondage and that doubt and that unforgiveness and that anger. We know all this because He has provided all this within our lives, right? Confidently standing before God. Understanding our hearts right with God, watching the actions of our heart play out in the actions that we do to other people, how we treat other people. See, when we get to this place where we're confident before God, here is where we can ask and receive. right? Because we're confident in who we are in God. Yeah, we can ask and receive anything we want, can't we? Well, it says, whatever we ask, we receive because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. That's a little different. It's not the Santa Claus Jesus we're talking here. It's the righteous God who has an order of things here. See, I think this is vitally important here. And this is where, for some people, I'm going to cross the line. But I don't care because I think the Word is on my side. Praying and asking is sometimes very different than praying and asking within God's will, keeping His commandments and doing what pleases Him. Right? There's a difference there. Is my heart submitted and subjected to God, or am I operating under my own agenda, wants, and desires, and have an expectation that God is going to fill every single desire? Funny, Dave, that you pick a song where it says, God, you don't owe me nothing. You don't owe me anything. But when I'm confident before Him, and I begin to pray and I begin to ask, not because it's something I selfishly want, but because it is wrapped around His will, His wants and His desires, His agenda, then God says, man, you're talking my language. Now I'm going to equip you and use you through this that I'm going to accomplish. See, what I ask from God should always be subservient to my worship, my humility, and my relationship with Him. From here, I make my petitions known to Him. Now, I don't want to discourage anyone from praying here. But if prayers are not getting answered, there's a solid reason for that. Sometimes it's because I have a misguided desire, and at other times we just don't have the wisdom or overall insight to understand the complexity of God. So when we go to God, hey, it's prayer time. It's prayer time. How does your prayer time look? Do you say, okay, I'm going to pray now, and all you do is ask God for stuff that you want? Or does your prayer time look more like, God, before I go any further, forgive me, because You are the all-powerful. You start exalting Him and asking for forgiveness. You start conversing in a fellowship with God. Do you ever have those friends and all they want is something from you? Hey, can you help me do this? Hey, can I borrow this? Hey, I was wondering if you're not busy, you could. It's all about them, and they all just want you to conform to them. We got to guard ourselves that our prayer life doesn't look the same. Hey, God, I love You and all, but man, look at me. Can't You give me this? I need this. Can't You bless me in this? Prosperity gospel, right? Yeah. Biblically, no, it's not. It's us being subservient and humble to Him, simply saying, God, whatever Your will is, expose that so I can be a part of Your will. And then equip me in such a manner, right? Get your heart confident before God. Get your heart right before God. See, within all of this, of course, is the Holy Spirit's conviction. And His guidance is crucial here. There are some times where you don't have that confidence quite yet, but you're crying out to God because you know it's the right thing to do. And in humility, your confidence gains through that situation, right? Most of the time, it's not about the end product. It's about the process of going from here to here. It's not the end process that God's concerned with. He's got that covered. It's you walking through that process and growing within that process. Our selfish prayers, they just need to stop. We need to humble ourselves before God. If my people, what? Humble themselves. It's the first thing. My people will humble themselves and seek Me and pray and ask for My will in their life, then I will heal their land and things like, man, I don't know, maybe I'm over practical, but I feel very guilty knowing that my heart's in a wrong place, but still seeking God and asking Him for something out of my selfish desires. I don't find that right, standing before a righteous God and doing that. It's like, God, fix me first. Expose me to who You are, and then I understand that those things aren't that important anywhere. That's where the Holy Spirit's guidance, His wisdom, His counseling, and yes, His conviction come in. They're crucial for that. See, He helps us to pray. He helps us to silence those voices in our head, and He shows us our true image and our calling within the Father's eyes. Boy, that's where we need to get to. Not simply becoming a consumer Christian. What can Christianity do for me? What can that church do for me? What can this relationship do for me? But quite the opposite, which I would argue is Jesus' example. John chapter 14, 26 says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." We need to be brought to the Scriptures, the red letters that Jesus spoke, that Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit was sent to us to help us within our own lives to get to be something much more than what we're happy with being. So get to know the Holy Spirit. Rely upon the Holy Spirit. And whatever you do, involve the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't believe me, look at verse 14. 1 John 3:24. "Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us." Yes. This is what's known as a summary verse. See, it pulls together what we've just been talking about. Pulls it all together. It reminds us. That all ties up in a nice little bundle, doesn't it? See, obedience brings fellowship between God and us. We live in Him, and He lives in us. Fellowship with the Father comes through fellowship with the Son, who has fellowship with the Father, and all of this encourages us to have fellowship with each other. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it all? It all just comes together. The great commandment, simplified, is love God and love others. So it does all fit together in a wonderful way that we cannot separate, and we should not try to separate it. How then is it justifiable to say, you know, I love God, but I don't like people? I love God, but I don't like those church people, because they're all hypocrites, but I love God. See, I just don't see how that can be justified in a legitimate manner after reading scriptures like this. So how does fellowship look? Well, it looks amazing. The evidence we abide in Him is our obedience to His commands, right? So the evidence that we abide in Him is us choosing to be obedient to His commands. The evidence that He abides in us is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, but that Holy Spirit stuff gets a little kooky. Those Pentecostals, those charismatics, that's a little weird. Father, Son, and we'll do the Holy Bible. But the Holy Spirit, that can get a little weird. No, it doesn't get weird. Holy Spirit is the evidence that God abides in us. What are we? In essence, what are we? When we become born-again believers, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes and He resides within us. If somebody's living in your house, you acknowledge them, don't you? Right? Somebody's living in your house, your temple, You got to acknowledge them. You've got to involve them. You've got to go to them. What's really interesting here in the book of 1 John is that right here, in this verse, it's the first mention of the Holy Spirit in this letter that we see as 1 John. And it shows, it shows the expectation that the early church had in terms of the Holy Spirit. I think it's an expectation that we have lost. What this says to me is simple. The gospel message and lifestyle, namely our faith, is constructed in a way that is dependent upon the Holy Spirit, both in theology or theory, as well as in application. How much are you involving the Holy Spirit? Upon Christ's ascension back to the heavenly realm, the Father sent the Holy Spirit for us, for you, and for me. Worship team, if you guys want to quietly come up. If you don't have a deep and solid relationship with the Holy Spirit, get one. Pray, ask, receive. You need that wisdom. You need that guidance. You need to have ears to hear. You need to have a conversation. You need to be aware that the Holy Spirit is telling you things, is presenting you things. So you pray, you ask, and you receive the Holy Spirit. See, He will change your faith, and He will change your life. If you don't have an example, a fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, man, take that step. Desire that. Crave that. Seek that. Dave's going to do a song. I have no idea what song he's going to do. I don't know, but you know what I do? I know I'm going to trust that, because I know Dave seeks the guidance of the Holy Spirit when he chooses these songs. If I have confidence in the Holy Spirit, if I have confidence before God, I know that this last song is going to be the proper song. I also have confidence to know that the Holy Spirit is extending something to each and every person in here right now. He's extending something. I don't know what it is, because we're all different. We're all in different places, and we all need something that's a little different. I know He wants to give it to you. I know He wants to extend that to you. Maybe it's through conviction. Maybe it's through a challenge. Maybe it's through a question. Maybe it's through a word. Maybe He just wants to assure you or comfort you or impart a word of wisdom to you. I know He has something for each and every one of us. The question becomes is, am I willing to accept that? Am I willing to seek that? Am I willing to open up my ears to hear that? That's a question that I can't answer for you. Only you can answer. What I do know is that, like Dave said, these altars are always available. Another thing that he was speaking is like, wow, that goes right with the message. Imagine that. Sometimes it's the distance. It's the conflict in the heart, in the mind, right? Some of you guys in here right now are going, man, I hope he doesn't say come to the altar. I hope he doesn't say come to the altar. Please don't let him say come to the altar. You're already fighting the battle. Take those thoughts captive. Surrender them to God. There's something going on within you, and God's saying, get to the altar this morning. I got something for you. God may just make you walk to the altar to get it. I don't know. He doesn't have to. But understand, God doesn't have to do anything. Sometimes when we have to come to the altar again, it's those steps from where you're sitting to the altar that a lot is happening within humility and surrender and dependence. When you get to the altar, it's like, oh gosh, I already feel changed. So if you want to bring those lights down, we'll make it nice and dark in here. I'm not trying to peer pressure anybody. There's something very different than peer pressure and opening up the opportunity. If I don't open up an opportunity this morning to come to the altar, meet with the Holy Spirit, intensify your relationship with the Holy Spirit, humble yourself before the Holy Spirit. If I don't do that, then, man, you know the conviction that comes upon me? Yeah, that's a great message, Jason. You screwed that into hell. sorry, God, maybe next time. I don't want to have to do that. So these altars are going to be open. We're going to worship. We're going to sing. If there's, you need to pray with somebody. There's people here to pray with. Absolutely, there's people here to pray with. If you have questions, there's questions that can be answered. Some of you guys just need to quiet yourselves. Quiet the voices in your head. Get with God. And allow Him to just wash over you and fill you up all at the same time. Acknowledge that you have the Holy Spirit. That you want the Holy Spirit. That you need the Holy Spirit. That you can't live without the Holy Spirit. You guys are battling those words, those doubts, those frustrations, that bondage within your head. Dump it at the altar. And replace it with the voice of the Holy Spirit. Father, Lord, what order you have, what complete order you have within your scriptures. How amazing it is that you give us all these things and it all fits together so well. If we could just simply truly believe that and operate within that, how wonderful would it be? Being more like you is the essence of that. So Lord God, as we stray, as we fall, as we allow the world's mindset to come into our lives, help us to take those things captive and make them subservient to you in a violent manner if need be. That war within us, Lord God, needs to be dealt with in an appropriate way. And Holy Spirit, Lord, I know you are speaking to people right now. Lord God, give them the boldness and give them the courage to meet you face to face right there. So Jesus, as you open up these altars, I don't know what you're going to do. But Lord God, I know if you do it, it's going to be wonderful. I pray this and ask this in the mighty name of Jesus.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.